Welcome to Her Story, a project by Chick History. I'm your host, Rebecca Price. For 1 year, we asked 50 contemporary women to share the story of the historical woman who has inspired her. Join us every week for a new story of inspiration, from the headliners to the lesser-known gems.
Dust off the books, read all the letters, preserve with time, dig out the truth written between the lines. Her history cannot be left behind. She shall not be forgotten.
Joining us today for Her Story number 41 is teacher and museum professional Dina Bailey. Dina is a former high school English teacher with a degree in middle secondary education from Butler University. She also received a master's from the University of Sussex in Brighton, England, and a certification in museum studies from the University of Cincinnati. Currently, Dina is the director of museum experiences at the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center in Cincinnati, Ohio, where she oversees the following departments: exhibitions, collections, interpretation, programs, education, community engagement, and floor staff. Of the many exhibitions she's curated there, she is responsible for the Freedom Center's most controversial and most well-attended temporary exhibition to date, Without Sanctuary, Lynching Photography in America. To learn more about Dina and her work, you can follow her on Twitter at NURFCDina. Dina, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
And which woman have you chosen to share with us today?
I've chosen Ida B. Wells Barnett.
Well, please share with us a little bit about Ida B. Wells.
Ida B. Wells was born on July 16th of 1862. So she was born to two enslaved individuals. Her father was a carpenter and her mother was a famous cook. So she was kind of in, if you can say, an upper class of enslaved individuals because both of her parents were skilled. And so she was around people who were of higher skill and had a lot more hope, I would say, than some who were having more menial tasks like working in the field. When Ida B. Wells was born, she lived with her parents until around 1878 when she was orphaned. Her parents and her youngest brother died in a yellow fever epidemic. And so from there, she ended up taking care of her family. And she is probably one of the most articulate people of her time, which is one of the reasons that I like her. But part of that was a couple of different reasons, actually. She received her education from Shaw University, which is now Rust College, as well as being a very religious person, so she was reading the Bible on a daily basis. And she loved Shakespeare, but she also liked classical music. So again, someone who is very intriguing for her time, because being born an enslaved individual and then being able to attend higher education, being able to read Shakespeare, being literate at all, and being into classical music, I think says something about the complexity of her character. When she became a teacher, it was really to help provide food, to provide money and all of the necessary resources for her family that she was then taking care of. And while she was doing this, she had an amazing experience that changed her life forever. In 1883, she sued the Chesapeake and Ohio Railroad because they forbid her from sitting in the ladies' coach. And she subsequently wrote about that experience in an article. And so that kind of started her journalistic career. And what happened during that time was that a white man on the train ordered her into the Jim Crow car, and she refused. And this was despite the fact that in 1875 there was a Civil Rights Act that banned discrimination on the basis of race or creed or color in public places. So keeping in mind the time again, so it's after the Civil War, but it's before Plessy v. Ferguson, which of course was the Supreme Court decision in 1896 that said that there was a separate but equal doctrine. So I wanted to read just very quickly part of her autobiography that talked about this experience. She says, "I refused, saying that the forward car was a smoker, and as I was in the ladies' car, I proposed to stay. The conductor tried to drag me out of the seat, but with the moment he caught hold of my arm, I fastened my teeth in the back of his hand. I had braced my feet against the seat in front and was holding to the back, and as he had already been badly bitten, he didn't try it again by himself. He went forward and got the bagman and another man to help him. And of course, they succeeded in dragging me out." Now, I want to say that she did actually win that suit, but then it was sent up to the next level, the Supreme Court of Illinois, I believe, and she lost the case from there. But again, just seeing her personality, I think, is so important. Another reason that Ida B. Wells is known is because she used her pen and her journalistic capabilities to first write about three of her male friends who were lynched. And this was during a time in the South when lynching had become a normal everyday activity. Her major contention was that lynchings were systematic attempts to subordinate the Black community. And so she actually wrote about all of the false reasons that people used to make it acceptable to lynch others. Because she was writing and speaking about lynching and the government's refusal to intervene or stop it, sometimes her presses were burned, there was a price put on her head, and she was threatened with death if she ever went back to the South. And for this reason, she was really in exile for almost 40 years of her time. She ended up going to Chicago, where she met her husband. His name was Ferdinand Barnett, and she married him. He was also a crusader as well as an attorney, and they had several children themselves, and she also took care of his children from his first marriage. Ida Wells Barnett was so important not only because of what she was doing in regards to racism and lynching, but she was very active in the suffragist movement and actually became one of the founding members of the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. But as that, she was called one of the most radical of the so-called radicals of that time. And so because of that, she was often marginalized in terms of leadership. Her name was not recognized as one of the founders for a very long time. And part of that was because she was among the few Black leaders who explicitly opposed Booker T. Washington and his strategies. She was definitely on the side of W.E.B. Du Bois and others who were working towards the Niagara movement, and in that light, the call to form the NAACP in 1909. But she also became a member of the National Association for Colored Women, which I think is very important. She died in 1931 and left a formidable legacy of courage and tenacity in the fight against not only racism, but sexism in America.
And why did you choose Ida B. Wells as your inspirational woman?
Well, there are several reasons that I chose Ida B. Wells. I think least of which was the fact that I would want to be her during that time period. She was an anti-lynching crusader. She was a journalist and a teacher who spoke out on racial issues. She was a civil rights pioneer and a founder of the NAACP. She was just generally passionate about crusading against racism, and she was a women's rights activist. And so all of those things really sum up the person that I hope that I would have been during that time period.
And what about a book? What would you recommend to listeners so they can start learning more about her?
I would actually like perhaps to do two books. The first one is by Ida B. Wells. So it's called Southern Horrors, Lynch Law in All Its Phases. So it's something that she wrote during that time period. And then in terms of knowing Ida B. Wells through someone else, I chose Crusade for Justice, the autobiography of Ida B. Wells. And it was written by Alfreda M. Duster, who was her daughter.
Well, there you have it for Ida B. Wells. Dina, thank you so much for sharing her story with us.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it, and I love Ida B. Wells, so I like to talk about her as often as possible.
To learn more about her story and other projects by Chick History, you can visit the website chickhistory.com. And please join us every week for another story of an inspirational woman in history.
I'm here to tell a story, something precious and fine, about a woman who made a difference with her life. She might not be known, but to only a few. Her story remembered here is gonna change that view. Her history cannot be left behind. She shall not be forgotten. Her story not forgotten.